We're dealing Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Hei. Of Ikra Parashim Yosef Tzopnas Paneach. This is after Yosef has translated the dreams. He translated them and he told them, no, it's all one dream. There's going to be 7 years of satiety. There's going to be seven. But a side note. Is it satiety? Am I pronouncing that correctly? Satiety? What?
Satiety.
No, satiety. There's a T-I in there. It can't be that. No, it's got to be satiety, satiation, but satiety, the word satiety. It's a satiety. Okay, no one knows. Fine. Okay, there were 7 years. No, it's a real word. It's a real word. But there were 7 years of Satan, and then 7 years, there was supposed to be a famine altogether. Right, and Yosef Tzadik is already known. So Yosef Tzadik is made the leader of everybody there. And it says, Vayikra Paro Shem Yosef Tzopnas Paneach. He was called this name, Tzopnas Paneach. Vayitzin Lo Tzopnas Paspo Tzifara Kohen Om Leisha. He was given Osnas. We all know the story of Osnas. That's not for this year. Vayitzin Yosef Al Eretz Yitzrayim. Yosef went out to rule over the entire land of Eretz Mitzrayim. Fine. Where did this name come from? What does it mean? So Targum Onkelos holds that it's a translated word from Hebrew. The Tzopnas Paneach is not an Egyptian word. It's translated. Because he says, when he says they called Yosef, Gavra Demetamrin Galyanle, which means he is a man who the secrets are revealed to. That's what it says about Tzopnas Paneach, which means the word Tzopnas Paneach, Tzopnas would be the hidden things. Paneach means are revealed. He reveals those things that are normally secrets. If it was a real name, then Onkelos would do what he does throughout Chumash. He would just say the name in Targum Onkelos. Reuven is Reuven. It's not Reuven, and he translates in Aramaic. He just writes it as Reuven. So clearly, Targum Onkelos holds this was not a name. This is a description of Yosef HaTzadik. Rashi says that as well. And he mentions that Paneach does not have a corresponding word similar to it in anywhere in Tanakh. Now I know I have it right down in the sheet, but does anyone know where the word Paneach finds its way into our tefillos? We do say it if you're Nusach Sfard, not in Ashkenaz. You say it if you're Nusach Sfard. On Shabbos, by Nishmas Kol Chai, HaMithaneach Ne'elomim. He's the one who opens up all those things that are hidden. So that obviously is there, but there is no word in Chumash, or Tanakh for that matter, there is no word that compares to Paneach. It just doesn't exist. Now, based on that, the Balaturim has a pshat. Balaturim says, Tzopnas Paneach is the gematria of 828, which is the gematria of Megale Mistarim. The Paneach Raza says it's Mistarim Megale. You can see, you gotta like switch around the word a little bit. But either way, but he says that's going to be the word, and that means that he's revealing those things that are secret. It's a gematria that works out over here. Now, the Rama Mipano, who was a Mekubal that lived years ago, and probably the Midrash Rabba as well, says the word Paneach is really made up of two separate words. There is the word pa, pei ayin, and noch, as in nunches. Pa comes from the word hofia, says the Be'er Basada. It's the line of that Hashem is mofia himself, that Hashem shows himself and reveals himself to all the people that are out there. Let it be known to all the people that are there. Noch comes from the word noach, settled, that you're calmed down a little bit. Everything was much easier to understand. The idea would be that he brought secrets, those things that people could not figure out, the riddles that people couldn't get, he brought them to light and allowed people to understand them, right? And what he was saying, it made everybody calm down. It made everybody rested. Oh, that's what he means. That's what's going on over here. Now I understand what he's trying to say. That's what ended up happening over here. The Maskul of David says that shouldn't be pan, it should be panach, not paneach. Paneach means that once everybody said that, they were silent. They rested from what they were going to say. He silenced everybody in the room, and that's the word paneach. But he says the Medrash ends up sounding like the way the Ramami Pano says this. Either way, pa means to let it be known, noch is settled, or everybody is quiet afterward. But either way, the name should have been the opposite. If the whole pshat is that he reveals secrets, then it shouldn't be tzopnas, the hidden, paneach, he reveals. It should be he's mifaneach, the tzopnas. I mean, I'm not a grammarian, so I'm not so sure I know how to pronounce that one, but I'm not that type of guy. I don't, the wording seems to be that it should be paneach tzopnas, that he reveals those things which are hidden. Why is it written that way? So Sfatama says that the reason why Yosef HaTzadik was built at such a level that he was able to reveal things that nobody else knew was because he was sanua. He was a Tsunua guy, and he understood his greatness and was able to go to other people and say certain things to be able to go. You should know, by the way, being an Anuv does not mean not understanding who you are. For example, the Chafetz Chaim, there's a famous story with the Chafetz Chaim, where the Chafetz Chaim was and I think Rabbi Chanuch Teller said it over in Skopje Yeshiva this past week. There's a famous one that just kept in my head. There was one time where this lady was an innkeeper, and she had the Chafetz Chaim over at her inn, but she had no idea it was the Chafetz Chaim. And there was something that was wrong. A cup was stolen, or something was stolen from her inn. And she went up to the Chafetz Chaim and she said, "You must have stolen it. I know everybody else here, you must have stolen it." And he said, "I didn't steal it." She said, "How do I know?" He said, "Because I'm the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim would not steal your cup." That's not being a Baal Gaiva. That's telling somebody who you are. Yeah, I know. Right afterward, he said to her, "And so, yeah." And then pushed her down and stepped on her while she was on the ground. That did not happen, right? But the Chafetz Chaim was saying, like, that I know who I am. I know what kind of a person I am. I'm not telling you that I'm the greatest person in the world. I'm telling you I'm the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim wouldn't steal. Says the Sfas Amis, Yosef HaTzadik was an Anuv, and he understood what he was, and he was Tsanua. He was able to hide himself completely. He was able to hide his Midos so well, how great he was. Even the Shoftim didn't realize how great he was. He was Zocha to the level of Paneach, to reveal things that other people did not know. That because of his tzopnas, because he brought it into himself, he hid himself and made himself greater on the inside, paneach. He was able to let it out to others. He was able to show others other things that they didn't know. That's, we're going to get to this again with the Imri Ames later, but that's the Sfas Ames Tratis, why it's tzopnas paneach. The Schus was a tzopnas, and thus he was paneach. Then it says it a bit differently. We've seen this enough. You've seen a guy who becomes a tremendous basketball player really quickly and gets that contract. You know what I mean by that contract. You know that Gilbert Arenas, $130 million contract, the most at the time. And then all of a sudden, what happens to Gilbert Arenas? Brings a gun into the locker room, and you never hear from the guy ever again. Right? Who's the guy from the Raiders that changed everything? Oh, Jamarcus Russell? Is that his name?
Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah. The guy, the worst number one draft pick of all time. What happened? The guy got paid. They changed the entire style of how to pay for people who are, you know, number one draft picks because of this guy, because of Russell, that he ended up getting paid so much. He was like, you know what? I don't have to play it down in the NFL. So he was the worst player of all time. He played like 6 games. He was the worst quarterback. But they all claim like he could throw a football from his knees 60 yards. Well, that's great. That doesn't help you in an NFL game. You go down on your knees, you're down. Like, it doesn't help you much. And he didn't want to be hit. He's pretty much done. And not only that, at the end of the day, I think he sued the Raiders for more money to be able to get more money once he went through it. These guys do not keep their money. They're just stupid about it. Scottie Pippen, we all know Scottie Pippen because we're in Chicago and we know the Chicago Bulls. The guy bought a plane for $2 million. I forgot how much he ended up spending on it. It was something like $20 million or something like that. The plane didn't work, but he didn't know. He had no idea. He bought the plane and then had no idea how to make it work, and he lost all the money that he put out for it. He lost everything. It's not good for these guys. Yes, 100%. These guys are not good. Their attitude changes. Everything is different from what it was. These fools lose their millions in seconds. You win the lottery. Look at these lottery winners. They're always like, I don't need to say it this way, but they're always like, you know, like Billy Bob from like, you know, in the middle of Arkansas, and he's just like, oh, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with this money. I know what you're going to do with the money. You're going to spend it on like 17 Lamborghinis, and then it's gone. And then you're not going to have anything left, and you're going to wonder whatever happened to all my hundreds of millions of dollars, and maybe you'll make an AMC special later on in life. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's pretty much you're gone forever. This idea of Yosef HaTzadik, he was in jail for 12 years. He was a slave for a year before that. And all of a sudden he's thrust into stardom, says the Nativ. He's thrust into being the number one guy, the king of all of Egypt, the number one person in all of Egypt. This is who Yosef HaTzadik is supposed to be and who he's become over here. So with his newfound wealth, with all of his fame, you'd think that he'd start acting crazy, that he'd start doing like terrible things or buy things that don't make any sense, because that's what Yosef was. You'd think that way. Yosef was totally different. Yosef was a person who didn't do anything strange. He didn't change any bit of his demeanor, of what he was like when he was a slave, what he was like when he was in jail, to what he was like when he was a king. He didn't change one second, even though he just became the second most powerful person in the heaviest economy in the world. He did not change one thing when he got up there. And not only that, but such a person, you'd assume says in its is, would not know how to act in front of other kings. This guy's lived in a pit for the last 12 years. He had no idea. He's from another land. How is he supposed to act in the highest society of Mitzrayim, where everybody's walking around with their champagne and talking about the caviar that they just got and everything like that? I'm sorry?
Keep it out of aim. I mean, kind of easy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 13 years ago. Remember, I think it matters. 13 years is a long time. I know we think, like, you were just in a pit for 13 years, 12 years plus 1 year as a slave. There's no way he knows how to deal with high society. And as a side note, Yaakov, you know, I would assume is a little bit more heimish than high society. He's not walking around, I don't think, with a little, you know, the little bit of caviar in the hand, with a little wine and saying, like, a little bit more cheese. I'm pretty sure that he's not doing that. In such a way, Yosef HaTzadik should not have survived such society. People should make fun of him right and left. Especially he's marrying into Potipharah, the Kohen of On, his daughter. I know that Osnas should have been from Yaakovinu's family, but in Pashup Shat that it was Mamish, Osnas was a daughter from another situation. You'd think that he wasn't able to do what he was supposed to do. And yet, nonetheless, he was able to be the person he was supposed to be. That's what shocked everybody. Sopnas, he was able to hide his slave demeanor and paneach, show an outward form of what everybody, nobody could figure that out. Nobody realized that this was a slave. This is a guy in a pit. He was named for the fact that he was able to fit into any society he was in. Wherever he was able to become the leader, somebody of stature. Everybody understood that this is a good person. That's the idea, says the Netziv over here. But let's go back to this. We're saying right now that Paro gave him a Hebrew name, right? Sopnas Paneach are all Hebrew words, and the way we've been translating it, it's Hebrew. Why in the world would he have given him a Hebrew name? So the Ramban says, it's possible that Paro knew Hebrew. I know the Medrash, that Yosef HaTzadik went up to him and he said, I don't know Hebrew. He might have known Hebrew. He didn't know Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh is a different language from Ivrit. Ivrit is basically Arabic without the ha, the inside there. That's really what it is. Ivrit is not a difficult language to understand. Lashon HaKodesh is a difficult language because there's so much to it. A person speaking Lashon HaKodesh is something different, and that's not something that we know how to do. It's when you speak, you have gematrias and notrikons and Rashi Tevis and Sophie Tevis. That Paro didn't know how to do. But Ivrit he probably knew. So it's possible he named him after that because he knew where he was from. That's why Moshe was named Moshe. Moshe is not the word in Egyptian for water. It's Monius or whatever it is. Something like that. Moshe is a Hebrew word which stands for pulling something out of the water. And the reason why is because Bithya knew he was from the Hebrews, so she named him a Hebrew name. That's the line that the Ramban says. So it's possible he knew this well. It's possible that he even asked Yosef, hey, I want to name you for someone who translates dreams. What should I name you? And Yosef's like, Sopnas Paneach is good. And he said, good, that's your name. Your name is Sopnas Paneach. The Rabbein of Achaia says, it seems that they were from, it's not like Mitzrayim is far away from Canaan. It seems likely they knew that as well. That's the concept the Rabbeinu Bachai and the Ramban both say regarding what happened with him over here. But the Ibn Ezra is confused by the whole matter. He says, I don't know, says Ibn Ezra. Maybe it's a Hebrew name. Maybe it's an Egyptian name. Maybe there's a counterpart for it and we're just translating into Hebrew. I don't know what's going on here, says Ibn Ezra. I'm not so sure what's going on. The Radak, the Ralbag, and the Rashbam all say that it makes no sense that Paro would have named him a Hebrew name. No sense. He's an Egyptian. He's going to call him an Egyptian name. So therefore, there is an Egyptian name here, although it sounds like it's Hebrew. And although the word Sopnas Paneach can be translated into Hebrew, says the Rashbam, the Ralbag, and the Radak, no, it's an Egyptian word. And if we knew ancient Egyptian, we would know that Sopnas Paneach was a word by them. It was not a word from us. Now, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think, says this clearly as well. He points this out, and he says that every name that we know of in Egypt has a pay in it. Do you notice that? Paro, a pay. Paro, Potiphar, Shifra, Pua, Sopnas, Paneach. There's an ayin and there's a hey in some of them, but those letters are found in all those names. You have at least two of those letters in each one of the names that we know in Egyptian. I know Bithya does not have that, but that's because Bithya converted. That name Bithya is a conversion name. That's not her actual name, whatever her actual name is. To my knowledge, I think those are the only Egyptian names we know. I don't know of any other. Moshe, I know, but I just said from the Ramban, Moshe he held was a Hebrew name. That was not an Egyptian name. But those names that we have, Paro, Shifra, Pua, I'm sorry? Ramses. So that's an interesting one. That's the name of a city. And I understand Pisom, we all know, Ramses
is
not
after a...
We know that from Ramses, right? But the names, meaning not the names of the cities, although you are correct, there is an ayin in there, but there is no actual pay. But that could be that cities were different. But it's just really interesting. Obviously, Mitzrayim does not have a pay in it, right? That's pretty obvious. I'm sorry? Zleika, you mean? Zleika. Okay, fine. Anything in the Chumash that has it down, Zleika didn't have it, and it should be Plazeika or something like that. But nonetheless, all of those are there. Says Rav Yaakov Kanetsky, by the way, he points out that for that reason, Ephraim was also an Egyptian name, not a Hebrew name. We translate Ephraim as Pru Revu, etc., Ephrani, but Eretzos. Rav Yaakov Kanetsky says, no, it was an Egyptian name because it had a pay and a race in it. That's what Rav Yaakov Kanetsky's line is. What's that?
You know, he wanted everyone to know that he was Jewish.
That would be the obvious one to be able to get through, right?
In the greatest way.
Yeah, to go through and say that it was something like that. But, I mean, that would be an answer for the Ramban, meaning against the Rashbam, the Ralbag, and the Radak, that he wanted everyone to know that he was Jewish. So we're going to get to that. We're going to have to understand there's something a little bit off about this that seems to be a little bit strange. But that's the idea behind it. So that's Rav Yaakov Kanetsky. The Razita Meir points out, now we're getting into a little bit strange stuff. Sufnas is the gematria of Kesser. Kesser meaning the crown of somebody. The crown of somebody who's in charge. Because he was a melech, he was in charge. Gilgal-wise, the Chidah says that Yosef HaTzadik is the neshama of Adam Rishon, the first king of the world, and that's why he became king. He says also that Paneach is the gematria of Yitzchak, that Yosef HaTzadik also had an aspect of Yitzchak of Yinu to him. I'm not going to go into that, I'm just going to point that out. The Abir Yaakov says that Osnas is the gematria of Malchuse. It's good when you can add on the extra 15 at the end, you know, with the Yud Hey at the very end. But he says Ketzer Malchus Ka, right? Is the Abir Yaakov is Yosef and Osnas, and he says that Yosef was Zilcha to this level of being a king because he held himself back from doing something that was forbidden. He did not get together with Zleika, with the wife of Potiphar. He held himself back. He built up his essence. So not only was he a king on the outside, he was a king on the inside as well. Now look at the wording. Sofnas. In the inside he was a king because he had ruled over himself, and thus Paneach. On the outside he was a king as well because he became that king through the schus that he was able to hold himself back. That means you hold yourself back from a situation like Ashes Potiphar. Don't put yourself in that situation. But if you're in that situation, you hold yourself back, you are the level of a Kesser Malchus. That's what you get for yourself. You are a king. You are crowned as a king. That's the idea. Let's go into another direction. Okay, all of that dealt with the name and the Kesser and everything like that. So let's go into another idea. Dibra Yamin Beis, Rashi says in Lamed Vav, this is the way of kings. They change the names of their servants to whatever names they prefer. Names that they want. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Vazar. You know what Daniel's name is in Tanakh? What Daniel was named in Tanakh? Does anybody know what his name was? I'm sorry? No, Ahasuch was the name that was given to him by the Megillah. You're right, because Chathu, Mi'achuso, etc. The name given to him was Belshazzar. Not Belshazzar, that was one of the kings. That was Nebuchadnezzar, Evel-Merodach, and then came Belshazzar. His name was Belshazzar. Hanani, Mishael, Vazaria, their names were changed as well. That happens. The Rashbam, the Bechor Shor, the Paneach Raza, they all say Yoshua was given a new name, Yehoshua, instead of Hosea, when he became the master, when he became the king. He was given a new name. This concept of changing the name when the guy takes on a new position applies for Yosef as well. He was Yosef. Says Paro, no longer. Now you're Tzofnas Paneach. Now you're going to be Tzofnas Paneach. The Malvim says it's necessary to show others what kind of a position he was putting in. Think about this. Can you imagine this just happened not so long ago. I think President Obama put somebody in charge of the affairs of trying to get involved with terrorism and everything like that. Somebody who is like a Hamas spokesperson or something like that. I don't have the facts down well. I got to get it through. I forgot what it was. You know what I'm talking about, Yaakov? I forgot the exact details, but it's something ridiculous where this person...
Who said
that Hamas is misunderstood? I think we pretty much understand them, but anyway, regardless, they said the Malvim says it was necessary. You just made an Eved into a king. So everybody's looking around and saying, so who is this guy, this new Grand Vizier, the guy who's in charge? Oh, he was a slave who was in jail for the last 12 years. Clearly, that person is not going to be listened to. No one's going to listen to him. Everybody's going to say, that's a joke. We're not going to listen to power. We're not going to do anything like that. So in other words, in that case, and especially because why is he made king? Well, he translated Paro's dreams. How do we know he translated them correctly? Well, he said what's going to be in the future, and we think it's going to happen. It didn't happen yet, right? Paro just heard the translation. He's like, that's awesome. You're the Grand Vizier. You're the second in command. Do anything you want. That's crazy. That's crazy. You just took a slave who was in jail for the last 12 years. This guy just listened to your dream, gave you up shots, and you're like, okay, you're God. That's it. But it hasn't come true yet, Paro. How do you know it's going to come true? I'm pretty sure he's right. I'm pretty sure this guy is telling the truth.
Well, Paro's God, isn't he? It's not a democracy. People aren't going to be like, oh, forget Paro now, I think.
Very, 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 very good call. Yeah. Do remember there was something that's mentioned over there. Remember what Paro said to Yosef when Yosef spoke Lashon HaKodesh? He stood up on the 70 steps and he spoke Lashon HaKodesh. What did Paro tell Yosef? Don't tell anyone that I don't know this language because I don't want them to take me down. Although Paro was a demigod, it might not have been yet, and although Paro seems to have a tremendous amount of power, apparently he was afraid of losing his throne. That's what the Malbim points out. And really, the Alshich points that out as well. Paro was definitely afraid that if he made a terrible mistake, something like that is going to happen. He was worried about abusing his position and taking it down. So he was worried. Yosef has to live up to the position that I'm putting him in. And he didn't want to put him into a position to not succeed. He changed his name so that nobody remembered that he was Yosef. Nobody would say, oh, that's the slave. Oh, there's a new guy. Who's this guy? Sapnas Paneach. Who's Sapnas Paneach? Oh, he's from another city. He's from around somewhere. And no one knew Yosef. He always wore a mask that hid the fact that he didn't look like the rest of the Egyptians. The Egyptians at that time were African. They were black. They were not Arabic. They're not like now. And Yosef Atzadik, if anything, would have looked Mediterranean. He would have looked something different. But they hid his face. They did not let people see him. They changed his name, and they gave him a wife, a girl.
Understand what... Well,
now it makes sense, right? Now it makes a little bit of sense. If you call this guy, everybody's like, oh, go to Yosef. Yosef will help you. The brother's like, we're looking for a guy like Yosef. Oh, look, he's white. That's weird. Well, I'm sure it's nothing. Yeah, like, obviously, the change of the name.
They came from Ham, though.
Mitzrayim is from Ham. Mitzrayim is one of the sons of Ham. Canaan was one of the sons of Ham as well. So they were related to one another.
They were related.
Yeah, but remember, we are from Aram. We're not from the Mediterranean area. We're from further east, which would have been further up. We're from Shem, who would have been a different person altogether. We would have looked a little bit different. So he did that. He married him to a woman of high stature, where everybody said, oh, wow, if he got that wife, if he got Osnath, then he must be a special person. The Kohen of On, wow, that must be a really special person. How could he get that? And no one would question the authority anymore. That's why he did it. He specifically changed his name for that reason. In that sense, the milas of Yosef HaTzadik are hinted to in the word Sapnas. They called him Sapnas Paneach because it meant Sofe, he saw the future. Podeh, he redeemed us. Navi, he's a prophet. Tomech, he supported us. Poter, he translates dreams. Anavi, he's a humble person. Navon, he's understanding. Chose, he's a visionary. Those letters all stand for what he did. Now, I know that's somewhat arbitrary. I will tell you right now that the Razet Amer gives 30 other translations, all Rashi Tevas, of those words Sapnas Paneach. 30 of them. He says in the beginning that I'm doing this, I think he said because it was Hanukkah, and he wanted the Bnei Yeshiva to have fun with this. And he wrote 30 other explanations. He told over the story of Yosef and Paro and everything through the letters of Sapnas Paneach. He just told over the entire story and wrote it all the way through with 30 different translations all the way through. So I realize it's a little arbitrary. Nonetheless, that's the idea that goes through over here. The Pardes Yosef says that Paro had a much more sinister idea in mind in naming him Sapnas Paneach. He knew that a nation only loses their nationality. The only way for them to lose their nationality is if they lose their culture. Change their names, change their clothing, change their language. He knew that Yosef often spoke about Hashem. He said, Hashem is with me wherever I go. That name was with him at all times. And he wanted him to forget that culture, forget the culture of Eretz Canaan, and become an Egyptian. So what did he do? He changed his name to Tzapnat Paneach. He changed his clothing and gave him white linen clothing that they all wore there in Mitzrayim, basically like a mummy or whatever it was, right? And then he made him change his language, made him speaking in Tzapnat Paneach, which would have been an Egyptian tone. He did it instead. But Yosef HaTzadik didn't listen. Look at the end of the pasuk. At the end of the pasuk it says, Vayetze Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef did not accept the name of Tzapnat Paneach. He himself felt that he was Yosef, and that's what kept him throughout. Although he changed his name, or Paro changed his name, although Paro changed his clothing, although Paro married him off to a non-Jew, to a girl named Osnas from Potiphera, and I know Osnas may have been from Dinah and Shechem, but in theory, we're talking about a non-Jew. Nonetheless, Yosef kept everything that he was. He was Yetzei Yosef, al Eretz Mitzrayim. We never see the name Tzapnat Paneach again, even though clearly he was known as Tzapnat Paneach because the brothers didn't know it was Yosef HaTzadik. Even though it must be, it's got to be that he didn't consider himself that way. That's the idea behind it. The Chassam Sofer says the exact same thing. And that's the idea of the Yetzei Yosef that Imamish went out. And not only that, says the Chassam Sofer, there's a Nachamina Lalacha. What name did Yosef have in his ksuba? Now I know it's funny, right? Because why would Yosef have had a ksuba? Rashi tells him that when he went to Yaakov Avinu at the very end in Vayechi, he went to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu said, "Who is your wife and who are your kids?" I don't know why he didn't ask it beforehand, but he asked, "Who is your wife and who is your kids?" And he brought out, says Rashi, his star ksuba. He brought out his ksuba and he said, "Here I am. Look, I got married legitimately. This girl was a convert. I did get married in a proper fashion. I don't know who the Edom were, Eliyahu HaNavi, Mashiach. But he got married and he had a shtar ksuva." Says the Chassam Sofer, what name did he have in the ksuva? Was it Yosef, who was also known as Tzapnat Paneach? Or was it Tzapnat Paneach, who was also known as Yosef? That is a nafka min al-halacha. How do you write up the gets? How do you write up the ksuva? So he said, the halacha, because he didn't accept the name of Tzapnat Paneach, he called himself Yosef, who was also known as Tzapnat Paneach. That is the nafka min, says the Chassam Sofer, how he wrote it inside there, that he only used it as an additional name, but not his real name. Vayetze Yosef, al Eretz Mitzrayim. On the other hand, there's another Chassam Sofer. This Chassam Sofer is in Torah's Moshe. It says this is all planned by Hashem in the beginning, as we just said up above. It was all planned by Hashem, so when the Shvatim came down, no one would remember the name Yosef. So when the Shvatim came down and they said, "Who is this guy?" they'd all say Tzapnat Paneach. Nobody would even remember. Wait, it's been 9 years since Tzapnat Paneach has been made king. No one remembered that his original name was Yosef, that he originally was a slave, that he had been translating the dreams of Paro. All they remembered is this guy is awesome. This guy's giving us all the food in the world, and his name Tzapnat Paneach. That's all they remembered. That way the Shvatim would not be able to guess that it was Yosef himself. That's the Chassam Sofer. The Chofetz Chaim says over here as well, there's a lesson to be learned over here. The Hashkocha of Hashem is 9 years away. It's all because Tzapnat Paneach was only named this way so that when the Shvatim came by later on, they wouldn't have a problem. They would not know that it was Yosef HaTzadik. Says the Chofetz Chaim, sometimes we have no idea why certain things happen, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thinking about 9 years into the future, 20 years into the future. Just remember, Yosef's dreams took 22 years to be accomplished. So when we have a dream and we sit there and we're like, well, why wouldn't it happen right away? Why can't it happen right away? It took 22 years for Yosef Tzadik's dreams to be accomplished. That's how long it was able to take. Obviously, Paro's was immediate. That was a different idea over here. The Igor Akala says that Yosef HaTzadik himself asked for a name change. Now why? It's a funny answer, and I'm not so sure I fully understand what the B'nai Yisrael says over here. He was afraid that all the girls knew how good looking Yosef was, because Eishes Potiphar went around telling everybody that Yosef was so good looking. He figured if his name was Tzapnat Paneach, nobody would know it, and nobody would realize that it's him, and he wouldn't have as big of a Yetzer Hara. So when he went out through Mitzrayim, he called himself Tzapnat Paneach. In other words, when he signed up at a hotel, he didn't put his name down as Michael Jordan. He put his name down as Tzapnat Paneach. He himself took on the name change so that no one would know that Yosef was coming into town, that Yosef was around. He purposely took on a name change so that no one would know. He'd be able to go incognito through the towns and get to know the Egyptians so that he'd be able to help them when they needed it later on when he was giving out the food. I'm sorry?
Assuming his face is still
because he doesn't look black, you're saying?
No, man, because if he's so good looking, it won't matter what.
Oh, I know, I understand. So at the end, the Igor Dekala says, exactly. At the end, everybody realized, like, well, he's really still good looking. And time they started throwing things at him, and that's where they ended up. It didn't help. That thing didn't help, and that's why he had to get married, so that he could get rid of the Yetzer Hara as soon as he possibly could. That's how the B'nai Yisrael puts it. The Das Zakenim says another type of abbreviation as well. Midrash brings through the Torah. Shlema goes into all this stuff. There's another issue. That's something to look through the Das Zakenim and the Baalei Tos over here. But we're going to end with these ideas. We're going to get into more Hasidish ideas that come through here. The Chidah says that no matter what Paro had in mind, whether it was a Hebrew name or an Egyptian name, whether he meant to call it something different or whether it was Yosef's idea himself, no matter what we say, there is without a question a reason why we need to know this in the Torah. If it's the only time that Tzapnas Paneach is mentioned, there must be a reason why God is telling us this. What's the message that he's coming to tell us? The pshat is that Yosef was doing something much holier when he was in Mitzrayim. I don't understand this concept, but the Mikubalim understand this concept. There is an idea that there is Kedusha stuck everywhere. There is Kedusha that you can find in the most unlikely places. And they are surrounded by what we call klipos, shells. Shells of tumah that don't allow that Kedusha to come out. Yosef's job was to go through Mitzrayim, find the Kedusha, and bring it out, take it out from there, and somehow give it over to B'nai Yisrael so that when they leave Mitzrayim, they take that Kedusha with them. The line of, they took the riches of Mitzrayim out of Egypt, they made it kimitsuda she'im badogin, like a trap that has no grain left in it, like a mitsula she'im badogin, like a net that doesn't have any fish in it. The line is, they took every little bit of Kedusha out of Mitzrayim. Somehow Yosef was able to trap that Kedusha, take it out from the Egyptians. Not just Mitzrayim, what do you mean?
Because
from the whole world. Because everybody's coming in. He was somehow able to put that Kedusha into the coins that they had in Mitzrayim. And when the Jews left with those coins, they left with that Kedusha. They left with a treasure that was greater than the physical treasure that they had. They had a spiritual treasure that came with them as well. Says the Chidah, Yosef was able to be Sofnas, that stuff which was hidden down in Mitzrayim. All the greatness that was in Mitzrayim, Mifaneach. He was able to come out with it, was able to bring it out, show it to everybody that was out there. He was able to give up all of that holiness and bring it into those coins and bring it over to Klal Yisrael. That's the Chidah. That's the real meaning behind Sofnas Paneach. The Mashi Law. There's no question. Not only the Bris Milah, but the fact that he changed the Egypt, he would take the money directly from everybody who came to buy. Why would he do that? Because again, if you're trying to put the Kedusha in, but this is a subject that I don't really understand. Because as much as I go around and trying to grab Kedusha out of people, you know, throughout the Gemara, you'll see the line Gal Shalatzamos, Nasa Gal Shalatzamos. He became a pile of bones. They looked at the guy and he became a pile of bones. You ever see that in the Gemara? You haven't done enough Gemaras. You've got to find the Gemaras where everybody's dying, where just the rabbis are killing everyone. It's quite a bit. Like Rishim Bar Yochai, right, when he saw that guy who threw him into jail, who ended up, you know, he almost was killed because of Yudim and Gerim, he turned into a Gal Shalatzamos in Shabbos and Daplam again one of the days. So either way, regardless, so this concept of Gal Shalatzamos says the Ben Ishchai, is that if you look at a person and you grab the Kedusha out of his system and you pull it out, it's almost like taking his soul out from his body. You literally turn him into just a pile of bones.
It's
got nothing left. Right. It's like Sonya. Immortal Combat, right.
Space Jam.
I'm sorry?
Space Jam.
Space Jam, I don't remember that.
No, that's the one they think you could put in the basketball.
Yeah? I don't remember it at all. Anybody watch Space Jam recently?
Yeah. No, like the
NBA Jam.
Little cartoons.
No, NBA Jam was the greatest game of all time. Yeah, that I totally agree. But the NFL, or the Steal the Talent. Oh, that's right, from Sean Bradley and Muggsy Bogues. That was the worst movie of all time. It's Katoayani Meskira Yom that I remember watching that when I was a little kid. Oh my gosh.
No, that's called this. I thought the Rob Catholic team, but the whole world was basically come and sell all of their stuff, all their land to Mitzrayim. That's all be collected into one central.
That's what the Mekubalim are saying. Right, and they would be able to take it all out afterward. That's what the Mekubalim are saying. And we lost it by the Egel Azov. By the Egel Azov, we lost it again. The Mashi Law, okay, I don't want to go through the Mashi Law. That is a really crazy shot. If you want to read it yourself, you can read it yourself. How he meant to say the word Poseach, but he couldn't say the Vav and the Tav, so he ended up with Paneach. That's a shot that I'm not so sure should be said over by somebody who doesn't know Kabbalah really, really well. That's a crazy shot from the may actually lower us. I'm just saying, that's a shot that you look at and you're just like, okay, there's something behind the scenes. No, this is. The Imre Emes, and we said a little bit of this from the Sfatamis before, says the power of Yosef, as we said, was to not allow his light to shine, to make everyone think that he was a nobody. The amazing part about Yosef is that he was even able to make the Shvatim think that he was a non-Jewish king, a black non-Jewish king in Egypt, even though he wasn't at all. He wasn't. It's an amazing thing that he was able to do such an idea. He was able to fool them so completely. That was the power of Yosef. His power of hiding himself from other people. It would be, seriously, for us, it would be like President Obama taking off, like saying one day, just like, I'm Maury from Borough Park. Like, that's what it would be like. That's what Yosef Atzadik was.
Awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome. Right? And you thought it was Muslim. You thought it was Muslim. No, it would be unbelievable. You wouldn't even have to. I mean, he could be African. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But he just said, like, my real name is Maury from Borough Park. I'm a Kossuth, right? And I've been pretending this entire time and trying to be evil to the Jews, right? Because I wanted you to know that Mashiach is coming. Right? That would be awesome. That's what Yosef was. When the Shvatim saw him at the end of the day and they realized that it was him, they're just like, what? This is crazy. Because Yosef could turn it off if he wanted to. And that one time when he revealed himself to his brothers, he turned it on. He turned on his light all the way. And like he revealed that shiny light to all of them, and they were shocked to death. That's how crazy it was. That Yosef that was able to make himself something totally different. The Imre Emes says that was his idea. Everybody else is under the mazel of Parnassah and Shefa to be able to get whatever they need from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef was above it all. He was able to be above. He was able to be Paneach, to reveal what needs to be known. He was able to be Tzapon when he needed to be and hide himself back. He was able to be Paneach when he needed to be. And that's the pshat.
It's a bit like Superman.
Exactly.
The glasses. No one knows where he is.
The only idea. So Yosef Atzadik had those little glasses that he put on. He's like, I'm clearly Clark Kent, who works for the
Bruce Willis.
No, I
see
Bruce Batman.
Batman.
Yeah, no, I agree with that too.
No. That's not shot. There is the last thing that I'm not gonna go into is a Bnei Yehu ala Torah. And I saw this Bnei Yehu from the Ben Ish Chai, and he said, like, I can explain to you all the secrets of Tzofnas Paneach. And then he goes on about how to shake one's lulav on Sukkos. The connection between them? Kabbalah. So I'm just saying, there is clearly a lot of secrets of the Torah that is behind this name. The Mashiloth that you have over here, the Bin Yowala Torah that goes on about how to shake a lulav and esrog, apparently I've been doing it all wrong my entire life. And the Chidah, going into the idea of pulling out this Kedusha of Mitzrayim, these are unbelievable answers that show you that there's so much more that's going on over here. But again, we are into Pashup Shad over here, so we started off with the idea of the Unkelus and Rashi, and that it was a Hebrew name. We tried translating it right through the Rama Mipano and the Sfas Emes. The Netziv's idea of being thrust into Tzardom, we spoke about that as well. We spoke about the Ramban, that it really was a Hebrew name, while the Ibn Ezra, the Radak, the Rabag, the Rashbam all argue. Yaakov Kamenetsky seems to also argue as well. We talked about the Malchus, that he became the crown of kingship, what Yosef Atzadik got. We then went into how changing their names, that's what they did. The Rashi, the Rashbam, the Bechor Shor, the Paneach Raza said. We then said the Malbim, the Alshich, and the idea behind it that Paro wanted to make sure that he would never be taken down from that position. We said the Paris Yosef, that there was a sinister idea in mind. We had said the idea of the Chassam Sofers, the Chavetz Chaim, whether it was for the Shvatim, against the Shvatim, whatever it was. Then we said the Chidah, we went into these ideas, the Chidah, the Mashiloch, the Imre Emes, the Bnei Yehu ala Torah. All right, Shkoyach, everybody. Have a great Shabbos.